You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to TPC. Welcome to June. Welcome to summer in the South. And boy, is it not hot and humid. We are in the midst of it. How is another year already halfway through? What is going on? It's Saturday, June 1st. I'm James Edwards. Keith Alexander in the studio with me tonight.
And if it were not hot enough, James has a, I kid you not, a woolen blanket up for a curtain in this, on window in the
studio here. Well, you know, I don't know what happened to the blinds, but you never know what's going to happen here at the station. But we don't want that sun beaming in through that single pane glass. It's like a magnifier would cook like a one of those science experiments.
Heat the sunlight up.
I'm sweating already here tonight in the station.
With the blanket.
Well, it does block the sun though. I'll tell you that. Found it in the closet. Anyway, here's what's going to go on tonight, folks. I'm really excited about tonight's show. I am going to provide you with a behind-the-scenes update on this new television project that we're working on. And I think last week when we were with you, last Saturday night, we made mention of the fact that this was forthcoming. Well, since then, filming started. We spent about 8 hours, in fact, filming on Memorial Day. So we're just going to take you behind the scenes. I hope that you'll find that interesting, knowing how some of this works. Outside of the studio. So we'll talk a little bit about that this first hour. Later in the broadcast, Henrik Palmgren of Red Ice TV is going to give us all the news about the hugely encouraging election results from the European Union. They all voted. All the European Union nations voted last weekend, and the results saw nationalist parties making major gains. So it is good news all around tonight on TPC. And, what else happened? The Huffington Post attacked us again this week, so we'll try to get to all of it. And let's get started right now. So, but as we get started, let me first give a quick shout-out to Todd and James. These two guys, Keith, they live here in the local Memphis listening area, and they go into the garage on Saturday nights, and they have a little man cave there, and they tune into the show. So it's just, you know, a couple of neighbors, a couple of friends coming together, listening to some TPC, probably kicking back a couple of, maybe a bottle of Suds or something like that. I can see it now. These guys have ordered about 18 of our TPC T-shirts, too. I think they've got one for every day of the month. So they keep it fresh. They keep it clean. That's our kind of stuff. So we love you, Todd. We love you, James. And that's a great name, by the way.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll send some cars over there for you to work on Saturday in the garage.
Yeah, they Keith has a fleet of vehicles in the back of his house. So
finally got somebody to work on my 49 Ford. So I'm in a buoyant mood.
Keith, you got to get on that mic.
Come what are you
now.
Talking about? Look, you're supposed to look. I'm just about swallowing it.
Yeah, you got to get it down. All right. Well, here's what's going on, folks. So, I'll tell you one good thing about this TV project that we're working on is it prompted me. For the last 5 years, I've had it. It's been on my to-do list to clean my home office for the last 5 years.
I don't mean we're not talking about decorating it. We're talking about cleaning it.
No, just I mean, listen, my house is immaculate. I am a neat freak, but most of the work done on TPC takes place in my home office. So we have the 3 hours a week we're in the studio. The rest of the, you know, all of the administrative tasks, responding to email, fulfilling orders, planning the show for the next week, most of the work goes on in my office, and we're always busy, so who has time to, like, sort and organize and put things up in the proper way? Papers everywhere. I mean, it has been messy.
Well, you now have a incentive to get everything decorated.
Well, that was
finally
the thing. I think subconsciously that may have been why I took on this project, because there was a couple of years ago, I don't remember if it was either what is it, NBC Nightly News or ABC Nightly News? I mean, what's the difference? I think it was either Nightline or NBC Nightly News. They wanted to come and they wanted to shadow me. They wanted to come into the house. They wanted to, like, live with us for a week and see what I do and, you know, just all of that. And they were going to do something similar to what this project is, but we didn't do that. That was in the middle of the Trump campaign, and, you know, that was back when we thought Trump was going to be something worth protecting. But in any event, this TV
A Ray of Hope
show did want to come and do some filming at the house. And so I got the office organized, and that's where I want to start. I went through all of these boxes throughout my career because I wanted to, you know, put some stuff up on the walls, a little representative sampling of my career. And of course, that career started with the Buchanan campaign, and I pulled out some stuff from those years, 99 and 2000, and some pictures of me and Pat together, and me out at the Reform Party convention in Long Beach, California, and just some other things that took place. But one thing that I had forgotten was that as a 19-year-old kid, I was giving interviews on behalf of the Buchanan campaign. I had forgotten some of that. I found some of those in storage, an interview I did with the LA Times. And actually, I was on a TV show with the chairman of the Republican Party of Tennessee and the chairman of the Democratic Party of Tennessee back in you're going to have to take that headset off, Keith. Keith always gets a phone call during the show, always, at least once. Anyway, I saw the very first TV interview I ever did. It was in the fall of 2000, and I was representing the Reform Party or Buchanan's campaign on this local TV show. Anyway, saw all of that. And then that transition, of course, that campaign led straight into my own campaign for the Tennessee State Legislature. And I was going through these boxes again and saw pictures. That's where the song Kodachrome comes from. I found all of these nice pictures back when pictures still got developed. You know, since then, all of the pictures are on our phones now. And so used to you could get pictures developed, and I guess maybe you still can, but who does it anymore? And I found all these pictures from the campaign of 2002, these yard signs, these brochures, all of these direct mail pieces that we had sent out. My pastor was on the campaign staff, and he wrote all of our literature. And these were just some great, it's great literature. I found one of my campaign yard signs that was signed by all of the campaign staff that worked with me that year. Great memory. Now, I'm getting to a point. I'm going to get to a point when we come back. But there is a point to this, and then I'm going to take you behind the scenes on what took place with the shooting for this television show, Henrik Palmgren, Martin Luther King's in trouble, Roy Moore may be running again. So much more coming tonight. Stay tuned, won't you?
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get Kosher-tified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying shh? Let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC. Not kosher certified. Now to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, I am taking the long way around to making a point, but when I make the point, I hope you'll find that it's worth the investment of airtime here tonight. And what we're telling you is that this television show was in town this week. We still got another couple of days of shooting later in the month, but we started with about 8 hours of Memorial Day, and they wanted to come to the house, so that prompted me to get my office organized, cleaned up, and then decorated appropriately with some snapshots through each phase of my career. And again, I'm telling you that started with the Buchanan campaign. Great memories, great pictures from that era. My own campaign for the Tennessee State
House. Most startling thing about those pictures is that James had a thick, full head of hair back then.
That's right.
But then, you know, the secret to your success in the reaction that we've gotten from the mainstream is that they can now typecast you as a skinhead now that you've lost your hair and have shaved your head. If you had that full head of hair, I'm not sure that they would have been that interested in you, James.
Well, as I said, Keith, that testosterone just burned it all off.
That's
they can
it.
Call me a lot of things, but they can't say I'm not handsome. But here's what we got. So we went through the 2002 campaign for the State House. Pictures of me working those booths at the local fair, and it's just such a wonderful experience. What a wonderful life. And then, of course, that transitioned straight into the radio show in 2004 when we kicked off the show 15 years ago. And I found so many things from that early stages of the show's development, including a picture of us with Drew Lackey, the former chief of police of Montgomery, Alabama. And I found, in fact, the first program of the very first public speech I gave as a talk radio host, and some other relics from the early years of TPC. But this picture of Drew Lackey actually will lead me straight into the pitch for our second quarter fundraising drive. So we were sorting through the contents of these boxes, and it was me and Bill Rowland with Drew Lackey standing outside a hall of a conference room. Now, of course, both Bill and Chief Lackey have both gone on to their eternal reward, and they wait for us in the kingdom of heaven. But this was an incredible man. He enlisted in the United States Marine Corps when he was 17. He served in the South Pacific in World War I-B. as we call it. And he joined the Montgomery Police Department in 1948, worked his way up from officer all the way to chief of police. Now, Drew Lackey was best known for fingerprinting Rosa Parks after she was arrested. That is one of the probably one of the most famous pictures in American history. He was also there when Martin Luther King was arrested after his indictment for disobeying Alabama's segregation laws. Now, he wrote a book about his memoirs called Another View of the Civil Rights Movement. And seeing that picture of us standing, Bill Rowland and yours truly, standing with Officer Lackey was a bittersweet feeling, but it also reminded me of one of the most important interviews we ever conducted on TPC. It was a one-on-one exclusive interview with Chief Lackey that was spearheaded by none other than the late, great Bill Rowland. I was a part of that interview, but Bill was sort of lead on that interview. And in that interview, Chief Lackey talked frankly, very candidly, about his personal interactions with Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King, and shared with us what he experienced as a police officer during the difficult era. And to say the least, his eyewitness testimony is at odds with the sanitized version of the events that the establishment churns out with regards to the so-called civil rights movement. Now, I listened to that interview again just this week because we had ordered multiple copies of it that are already in stock and here at the studio tonight. And it is absolutely riveting. It is truly one of the most important interviews I think we've ever done. He talks about working with King, talking with King while he was in jail, the situation with Rosa Parks, and he shared so many behind-the-scenes stories, such as, I mean, he knew the whole Rosa Parks thing was a setup. He knew what you don't know is that Rosa Parks wasn't bullied by some able-bodied, quote-unquote, racist to give up her seat. It was a packed bus, and it was a very feeble, elderly man who couldn't stand and could barely walk, who had asked her politely to move out of her seat, and she refused. Now, that is what prompted her arrest at the time. But he talked about how crime and violence, anywhere the marchers showed up, it was crime and violence. It is an incredible interview, and it is one that should be kept for posterity. And so, I would say this, that we have a CD, a hard copy CD that can play in your CD player, anywhere you can play a CD. $100 or more, you're going to get that CD. A historic interview. It's not often you can hear an unedited accounting from this tumultuous era from the perspective of a dissident who was in a position of authority and who interacted directly with two of the key players in this whole mess, King and Parks. But TPC proudly makes that possible. And we've gotten off to a very quick start with this quarter's fundraising drive because of that incentive. So if you want this hour-long CD of our interview with Chief Lackey, which I would not have remembered necessarily, I would have remembered it, but it wouldn't have been brought to my mind had I not cleaned up my office and found that picture and done all of these things, getting ready for this TV show. And that's why we have decided to make it the incentive for this quarter's fundraising drive. So, do it. $100 or more. Keep our show on the air. Keep making us available to give these interviews like we're giving on TV, which is going to be seen by 3 million people. But this interview with Lackey Keith is truly TPC at its finest, and we want to get this out to as many people as we can because this is the kind of truth that the History Channel will never touch.
Well, I was going to say that you did a great public service, you and Bill, by doing this interview because this is the type of hidden history that is not going to surface unless it surfaces through organizations like the Political Cesspool. This is not going to be on ABC, CBS. It's not going to be in some major European newspaper or news broadcast. This, though, is real. This is as real as it gets, and it tells you just the type of duplicity and sanitized version of the of history and the facts that you don't you get that sanitized version from the so-called legacy media. But on the other hand, this type of information, you know, it's gone with the wind except for the fact that groups like our organization have tracked these people down, gotten actual interviews with them, and when you do that, when you get that actual information from them, you know, this is the history that, you know, we suspected was happening, but on the other hand, you never know it if you just go to all of the normal outlets. But we have provided this glimpse into real history for our audience, and we want to share it with you.
This is TPC at its finest. This is what sets us apart. We make content like this available. And again, this was a fantastic man, a World War II veteran, a Christian, a family man. And, you know, these are the guys that are cast as the villain in this history, the law-abiding officers of the law.
And see, this is Jewish power and influence of the media back then. That's who owned ABC, CBS, NBC, PBS back then. And those people, basically, for the first time in American history, cast law enforcement as the bad guys and the lawbreakers as the good guys. And Chief Lackey brings that out in this interview, folks. And believe me, you don't want to miss this opportunity.
So keep us on the air. Get this interview, and you'll be glad that you did, because again, I listened to it recently, and this is something I think it's a very unique incentive for one of our quarterly fundraising drives. And you know, the quarterly fundraising drives are our life's blood here on TPC. We don't fundraise aggressively every month, but we do have to do it every quarter, and we only do it every quarter because we have to. But this is something that I think you'll really benefit from, and of course you're doing a good deed and keeping us on the air. But at any event, I saw, you know, some of the early speeches I gave around that time. Drew Lackey and I were both speakers at a conference. I also spoke at a conference in 2005 with George Wallace's son, who has also appeared on this radio program. So I tell you what, we are steeped in history here on TPC, but I am going to get to the point. Well, I think we've made some pretty good points already, or at least I hope made for some interesting conversation. There is a grand point to be made. Going to make it when we come back, and then we're going to get down to the news of the night and business as usual here on TPC. It's coming up in minutes. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Federal investigators have identified two .45 caliber guns used in the shooting at a Virginia Beach municipal building that left 12 people dead. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam.
I am a doctor. I served in Desert Storm. I have been in situations such as this, and it was important to me to go to our hospitals and thank the doctors, the nurses, and the staff. And I can let you know I also had the opportunity to speak with some of the families. They send their thanks for the heroic deeds that were performed yesterday, and I want to assure you that they are all being well cared for.
ATF Special Agent Ashawn Benedict.
At this time, we're also working with our law enforcement partners to look at the ballistics from the weapons discharge, and also our ballistic network of NIBIN to see if they correspond with any other shootings.
This is USA Radio News.
Summer is just about here, and you know you're trying to get in shape. There's nothing more key to getting in shape and recovering from your workouts than getting deep restorative sleep. And the best way to get it is with MyPillow. Now, the offer we have right now is one of the best you've ever seen. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for just $69.98, $34.99 per pillow, the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV, and better than you'll find in almost any store. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special to get two MyPillow premium pillows for $34.95 per pillow, the lowest price ever offered. Go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 to get this great offer, a great night's sleep just in time for summer with MyPillow.
The Arkansas River has hit record levels, putting communities along its banks in danger. National Weather Service meteorologist Dylan Cooper.
We're still anticipating the water to keep going up for most of the areas here in central and southeastern Arkansas. The crests should make their way down the river as we go through the rest of this weekend into next week.
The issue of statehood for Washington, D.C. is back once again. For the first time in 26 years, the House will hold a hearing on statehood for the nation's capital. D.C. Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton made the announcement via tweet, saying the July 24th hearing is what she termed a monumental step forward for equality and self-government for D.C. Norton has introduced D.C.'s statehood bill several times, most recently in January, when the bill had a record-high 205 co-sponsors. Republicans have consistently opposed making the nation's capital the 51st state. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, so retracing the path that got us from my humble beginnings to where we are today, 15 years after we founded this radio program, going through boxes, finding these memories and what wonderful memories they are. And these were all things that we talked about when the television crew was in town on Memorial Day. So they came to the house, to cut to the chase. And we talked, I made sure that there was a very beautiful Confederate battle flag in my backdrop on that camera. And it was a gift that was given to me from Brian in Arkansas, and I love it. And it's a custom-made Confederate battle flag, by the way, and it even has stitched into the fabric our TPC motto.
And historically correct, too, this is a square flag, not the...
That's right.
One that is longer than it is tall.
That's correct. And so that was in my backdrop as the camera crew asked me about my career, and we talked a little bit about identity, and I talked about the fact that my identity comes from my blood and from this soil. My identity is not this vapid, transient, consumer-driven identity that so many Americans have today. My identity is rooted in the eternal, our people, our faith, our land, and we did quite a bit of filming at my home. My wife and children were filmed a little bit. We talked a little bit about homeschooling and some other things. And then we went to go buy some flowers because another scene took place at the grave of my grandparents. My maternal and paternal grandparents are buried side by side, which is probably a rarity. But we wanted to put flowers on their grave, where I talked a little bit more about my family and what that means to me, and the continuance, you know, fighting for the past, the present, the future, the generation of children my grandchildren will have that I will never meet, but we're all part of this continuum. And we talked a little bit about that at the cemetery. But when I went into a local store to get flowers, it was a local grocery store, to get flowers, it was amazing because you go in with this film crew, and of course I was dressed with a shirt and tie, and you have this film crew following you, and it just talks about the, you know, I couldn't help but notice the celebrity culture that kind of dominates America. That, you know, I have a pretty healthy ego, but I would be shocked if everybody in that store knew who I was. But they did know that there was a camera crew following a guy, so that guy had to be somebody, and it had to be something for TV. So these people circled around and were taking pictures as if you know, somebody really well known was in there, well known in certain circles, but certainly not a household name. In any event, so we left there and, you know, driving, and while we were driving, they said, we want to get a shot of your hand on the steering wheel, we want to get a shot of the odometer, and we talked a little bit, and they asked me about the attacks and my reaction to those attacks. And of course, I said, you know, the reaction to being first named as a hate group and all of these other nonsensical things. I said I was ecstatic because you don't arrive if it were not for the fact that you've been named to these phony lists. But they asked me about, do I think, this was a very interesting question, and it was a question that was not lost upon me. They asked, do I think I would have ascended to my position had it not been for those attacks? Did I need those attacks? And that irony was not lost on me. I said yes. I said every hero needs a villain. Every antagonist must have a protagonist. If it were not for, I think it's called the Streisand effect, that if your enemies are not attacking you, you can't prove that you have what it takes to be a leader. So if it were not for all of these attacks that we've suffered over the years, I don't think we'd be here. And certainly we wouldn't be battle-tested and proven, and time-tested and battle-proven. There's no doubt that you could say, well, we think that, you know, James and these guys would hold the line, but how do we know for sure? Well, you know for sure. We've been denounced by the United States Congress. We've been attacked incessantly by the media. And without those attacks, I don't know if we'd be here.
Well, actually, it's really kind of fortunate that the SPLC exists, the Southern Poverty Law Center, because they need a foil. They need somebody that they can point to and say, looky here, looky here. Here's a hate group that you didn't suspect existed, and we've uncovered it. So we're one of many that they've done that to, and quite frankly, they've made a lot of money off of us, and we've gotten an awful lot of publicity because of them.
That's right. They needed us, and we needed them. It was an unintentional symbiotic relationship, but we did the scene at my grandparents' grave, and then we went to Nathan Bedford Forrest's grave. And that was something that I insisted on. They wanted me to lay flags on the local Veterans Cemetery because it was Memorial Day, and I said, you know, it'd be more appropriate and it would be more in standing with who I am and what our program is about if I just laid flowers at the grave of Forrest. And so I took a dozen red roses to the grave of Nathan Bedford Forrest, and I put a picture of the scene up on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, this week. And of course, you won't find in that picture the stirring equestrian monument of General Forrest sitting proudly atop King Philip. That, of course, was removed in violation of state law 2 years ago.
Heavens knows we have enough pictures of our staff and our guests. And
well, that's right, but you're not going to see it at that park. And, yeah, that's right.
No, thank goodness we got the pictures when the pictures when the statues were there to be used for the purpose for which they were intended.
What you will find in the picture is a hideous chain link fence, weeds lining the perimeter that stand about 3 feet tall, smaller weeds growing through the cracks of the plaza, tacky orange construction cones that flank what's left of the grave, and even the Yankee flag that flies above the grave was tattered to shreds. I will tell you, I have never seen any flag in such poor condition. The entire area was a total disgrace, aesthetically repulsive. And Courtney from Alabama, who was on the show last week, she saw the picture and she commented to me, she texted me, she said, I saw the picture. Liberalism is so ugly.
Well, that's also, Courtney, of course, is right on target as usual. But what that shows you is that our enemies are also the enemies of every American. Once they get through with the Confederacy and Confederate heroes, they're going to move seamlessly on to George Washington, Thomas Jefferson,
and they already have,
John
course.
Wayne, all these other people, Christopher Columbus. They hate white people. Southerners are just the easiest target, and then they're going to come after the rest of them. And see, this is what they've done for time immemorial. This is what happened in the Civil Rights Movement. They made whites outside of the South think, well, this is just something that the South is going to be targeted for. But then, for example, when they brought busing to Boston, then all of a sudden they stopped preaching and started meddling, and they wanted to get involved in the fight. But their absence at the very beginning of the fight proved that, you know, that they got us at half strength and they got them at half strength. If we could get together as a race, as American white people, and fight this deracinated liberalism that is trying its very best to destroy us, then we could possibly win this fight. That's what we need to strive for. And that's exactly, you know, what history teaches us, that you know, you can divide and conquer, and that's what the left has done.
Well, Courtney was right about liberalism being ugly. So gone is this true and you're right too, Keith, but gone is this true artistic masterpiece, and it's been replaced by urban decay. The scene once again reminds us that you cannot have a first world nation with a third world population. When you have a third world population, civilization crumbles, rule of law crumbles, beauty crumbles. But the good news is that I was able to talk about the situation concerning the desecration of General Forrest's grave to bring light to this matter, to bring attention to this matter.
To a worldwide audience.
An audience of 3 million people. Now, we take seriously our responsibility in advancing our position and articulated to the best of my ability why self-respecting Southerners will never abandon our heroes. So we got a chance to do that this week, and it will be seen by 3 million people. Now, furthermore, I got to say this about the production crew, Keith. The production crew for this project, I have had a lot of experience in media, all types of media, all manner of individuals. The production crew for this project has been a real pleasure to work with. We'll see how everything looks when it goes through editing, but I must say, to this point, this has been the most enjoyable experience I've had working with the media to date, and we have a couple of more days of taping, as I said, over the course of the next couple of weeks, and we'll continue to keep you posted. But so far, so good.
Well, you know, they more or less warned us that we're liable to have nice, you know, positive images like your interlude down at the former site of Nathan Bedford Forrest's statue that may wind up on the cutting room floor. There's going to be someone back in, overseas that is going to make the decision about what actually goes in. And we were more or less warned about that, but we didn't have to be warned. Well, we knew that that's the way it is. Well, but on the other hand, we are trying to reach out. We're trying to get this message out. And, you cannot control the media. The media is going to try to control you, but they cannot control us either.
Well, the thing is, of course, we have always selectively chosen here at TPC what media requests we grant and which ones we decline, and it's always a best guess type of thing, and it's not an exact science. But the whole program is only going to be 52 minutes. Now, we spent 8 hours taping, so I don't think they're going to be able to fit everything in. We'll see what they choose and what they pick and how they present it, but so far, so good. I believe that they are operating in good faith, and we'll just see how it comes out, and we'll see later this summer. But believe it or not, folks, I still have not made the whole point that I was getting at when I started this hour. We will get to it, and we will get to Hendrik Palmgren, and we will get to news when TPC continues.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, so here's the point of this whole thing. Now, of course, I did want to tell you, provide you with the update of what's been going on behind the scenes, because you deserve to know. Now, I have not mentioned what network and what program this is yet, and I'm doing that on purpose because we have learned over the course of this extensive career that the practitioners of P peace and tolerance are very violent, and we don't want people to get threats, or we don't want anybody to get blown up. Or, of course, when we had a conference down here some years ago, the peace and tolerance crowd threatened to blow up the hotel that was hosting us, and also murder the entire family of the general manager of that hotel. So this is the kind of people that are that our opposition is. So we don't want to bring any undue duress to the network going to be featuring us in this program. But the point is, as we were retracing the Buchanan years, the year that I ran for the state legislature, which led directly into each phase, led directly into the next. None of that has been a mistake, ladies and gentlemen. I truly believe that God's hands are guiding this endeavor, and that it is building towards something bigger and better. Now, if the last stop is what we've already accomplished here at TPC, that wouldn't be that bad. But I believe that there is more to this story still to come. For instance, just 2 weeks ago, this interview opportunity wasn't even on the table. 2 weeks later, we've already filmed a great bit of it, and still more to come. But it just goes to show how quickly things can present themselves. And so that's what's going on. And we have always been building forward towards things. And this is a billion-dollar company. This is a billion-dollar media enterprise. And they had identified us through reputation as a voice of the South that would give a dissenting point of view on the way things are going. And that's why they chose us to be that voice. And it's a great opportunity. I do not take lightly this opportunity to shine a light on what's going on here and to serve as that voice. And again, to be able to, who else but TPC would have given General Forrest? That was not their idea. That was my idea, and I insisted on it. And thankfully, they agreed to do it. I'm not saying I twisted their arm, but I said, this is what I think would be more appropriate. To have scenes filmed at Forrest's grave, nobody else would have done that but TPC. And that's what your support allows us to continue to do. That's why we need your support on the second quarter fundraising drive. Keith?
It's really, you never know who you're going to inspire or what part of the message is going to get through, but I really think that we can take at least partial credit for the proliferation of podcasts and TV shows and radio shows and webcasts that have basically sprung up like toadstools in the front yard throughout Europe and America and the Anglosphere generally, because of our humble efforts here at the Political Cesspool, and particularly James's insistence on getting out in front of these issues. And no retreat, no apologies, no surrender is our motto. And I think it is, our movement is gaining traction and power and influence every day. And this is the way it happens. Great oaks from little acorns grow, and we're one of those little acorns, and we've been here as long as anybody, I think, basically.
We've been here longer. I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, so much in life is due to timing, and a little luck has to be involved as well. Now, I would say we have a modicum of talent with regards to broadcasting, but perhaps not much more than that. But, other people can be the judge better than we. But what we have had is a history, and we got out in front of these things 15 years ago.
When no one else was doing it, and basically now a lot of people are doing it. And are we jealous? No, we're proud. We feel like parents.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, there are ubiquitous number of people on YouTube that I think, and there are a lot of people out there that have more talent than I do, but the fact of the matter remains, at the end of the day, we are the voice on AM talk radio. And when these big companies come, they're going to take
that into consideration.
Authority. I mean, being on AM talk radio does carry a little more weight than an internet podcaster or a YouTube voice, even if these people have more talent than we do, and some of them certainly do. But whatever the case, God gave us this opportunity and this platform, and we have become well known. And we have become well known for one reason, ladies and gentlemen, you. Your support, none of this would be possible without you, and we never forget that. This is not a vainglorious experiment. This is something that we know we would not be in the position that we have without you playing your vital role on our team. It is a collaborative effort, and we are all for one.
And you're as much a part of this as James or me or anyone else that's been involved in this program through the years. This is, we're like the Lewis and Clark, and now we've got a superhighway being built basically on the path that we trod in this uncharted territory. And let me tell you, it's I think the movement is on the verge of great things and having a lot of influence.
Well, Keith, you are more right than you know. It seems like we're in that darkest hour, that hour right before dawn here in the United States right now. Or in the occupied Confederate states, if you're down here with us. But in Europe, great things are happening, seemingly so. And Henrik Palmgren is going to be with us in the second hour to talk about that. Now, what we're going to be talking to you about, I had intended to get to it in this hour, but we're running out of time. So we're going to push it to the third hour. We have been attacked again this week by the Huffington Post. And I'll tell you what that's all about in the third hour. So stay tuned for that. We're going to push that to the third hour. We're going to tell you all about it. But first, what I found interesting, Keith, was that we had offered this incentive on the Drew Lackey interview we did and his experience, you know, having a front row seat to the so-called civil rights movement, his position. I mean, Montgomery was the epicenter of this whole thing. And that's where he
was chosen by the left. The left had this organization called the Highlander Folk School just over the line in Tennessee from Alabama. It was like the Paris Island for civil rights movement people.
Well,
and they all came in. They got trained. Rosa Parks was one of them. Martin Luther King was one of their alumni. And they came down to places like Montgomery. And the first people that encountered them and the dishonesty, the basic
like
dishonesty, were people like Drew Lackey.
And this is the point.
And that's why his interview is so important and why we are humbly proud to be able to provide that to you.
You see it right there in the corner. How many stacks of interviews do you see?
I see two big stacks.
And we want to get those out to our supporters. But it was interesting. The time we had decided to have this interview, or rather we had decided to feature this as our incentive, as a result of me cleaning out my office for this TV crew that was coming to my house. I found this picture. I said, that's what we're going to do for the incentive. And so there was that. And then, lo and behold, Martin Luther King himself was the subject of a pretty big expose this week. And this wasn't written by, this expose wasn't uncovered by some writer for the Citizens Informer, the quarterly publication of the Council of Conservative Citizens or anything like that. Keith, we're going to cover this more in depth in the third hour as well. But give them a little teaser before we get to that third hour. What's the big news about MLK this week? It proved that people like Drew Lackey and the South were vindicated and right all along about these people.
Well, if you recall, when I ran for public office here in Memphis back earlier in the year, there was, basically, I guess, 2 years ago. But here's what happened. I said that you probably don't know anyone in your close circle of friends who was a more immoral man than Martin Luther King. And boy, was I raked over the coals by the local media
about
that.
It was front page A1 above the fold.
And guess what? Everything I said has now been vindicated by a left-wing historian named David Garrow, who has had access to that sealed FBI file on Martin Luther King that was sealed by a federal judge's court order in 1977, prior to the run-up to make Martin Luther King Day, his birthday, a national holiday. Without, if it had never been sealed and that information had gotten out, we wouldn't be saddled with Martin Luther King's worship the way we are now, or the national holiday. But the truth is finally seeping out.
Well, this guy, David Garrow, is not only a biographer of King's, but he is a left-leaning individual who is a Pulitzer Prize winner. So this is very much someone of the establishment, and even he came out with this. And the new evidence is not that, I mean, look, we always knew King was an adulterer, he was a plagiarist, he was a communist, we knew all of that.
And
but
a
now,
Christian heretic as well.
Well, he was never a Christian. I mean, he pretended to be a Christian in order to make his message more palatable. If he came out and just said, I'm a communist looking to overturn white
society,
they would have never got off the ground. But no, what Garrow came out with was not just the fact that he had more than 40 adulterous affairs in his life, but that he actually coached a rape, that he was witness to a rape and was laughing and telling the rapist how to go about raping this woman.
You think the Bill Cosby caught heck from the Me Too movement? If Martin Luther King was alive today, Katie barred the door. Now, isn't it interesting too, James, that all this information was broken by European news sources? The silence is deafening from ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS, Media Matters, BuzzFeed.
Oh, the American media wouldn't touch CNN. That's what I was saying. I mean, we need Me Too to get on this and help us tear down these statues. I mean, these statues need removing. This is a rapist.
Yeah, there's statues that need to be removed, but they're not Nathan Bedford Forrest and Jefferson Davis.
And Robert E. Lee and all of that. But I'm just wondering, why is Me Too so silent on this? But I did hear that the Southern Baptist Convention is rumored to be meeting to determine whether or not they should move Jesus Christ ahead of MLK and their denomination's hierarchy, but some leaders worry that it would be racist to downgrade him just because of his affinity for rape. We will talk more about this in the third hour, but we've got to take a break.
Henrik Cochran
next.
But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.